Recently, my 5-year-old Camilla was playing in our backyard on a warm spring day, and she decided that she wanted to plant a fairy garden. She'd gotten some fairy garden seeds in a birthday party favor bag, which is an adorable idea, by the way. I'm definitely saving that one for the future. Anyway, in her determination to plant a fairy garden, she walked around the backyard to find the perfect spot, a little patch of dirt next to her playhouse. And after finding the perfect spot, she trudged into the house, totally frustrated and deflated, verging on meltdown status. So, of course, I asked her, "What's wrong, Mill?" And she explained that no matter how hard she tried, she just couldn't dig a hole to plant her seeds. That she was raking the dirt as hard as she could, but it wasn't making a hole. And of course, I stopped her and I said, "Wait, did you say that you're raking the dirt?" And she nodded. And so I took her hand and I said, "My girl, we've got to get you the right tools. A rake won't cut it for digging holes. You've got to have the right tools for the job." So I dug around in the garage and found her a little garden shovel and grabbed her little pink garden gloves. With her gloves on and her shovel in hand, she had exactly what she needed to make little holes for her fairy garden flower seeds. She just needed the right tools for the job. Hey friends, and welcome to episode 222 of It's About Time, a podcast sharing stories and strategies about work, life, and balance. I'm your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick. And today, I'm answering a super common question I get from busy professionals and business owners who have full schedules and maybe a dash of overwhelm. And that question is, what are the best tools to manage my busy schedule? And it's a great question to ask, especially because the way technology is changing so quickly with AI integrations, augmented and virtual reality, not to mention the paper planner industry is a nearly $400 million industry all on its own. There's always some new tool, whether it's digital or paper, to test drive or try to see if it works for you. But, and there's always a but, right? The hunt for the perfect time management tools can feel like navigating a never-ending maze. The options are endless and overwhelming, and trial and error takes time. Not to mention, it can get expensive. I saw a planner yesterday that was $65. Plus, we're constantly adapting the way that we manage our time as our lives change, which means we need tools that are nimble enough to change with us. Sometimes that search for the perfect tool can leave us feeling frustrated and like we'll never figure it out. It might even feel like using a rake to dig a hole. Sure, you're working hard, but you're not really getting anywhere. I know exactly what that feels like because when I set out to figure out how to make time management work for me, I certainly didn't magically stumble upon the perfect collection of tools on the very first try. So in this episode, I'm hoping to save you some time by sharing the 4 types of time management tools everyone needs to manage a busy schedule. I'll talk about how to choose a collection of time management tools that fit your life and the most important decision you need to make when it comes to your time management tools. And finally, I'll give some direction about where to start if you're building or refining your time management toolbox. During this episode, you'll also hear me share some of my favorite time management tools, so I'll be sure to include links to those over in the show notes so you can check them out and see if they're a good fit for you. As usual, you know you can find all the details for this episode over in the show notes at abouttimepodcast.com/222, including a recap of the 4 tools you need and how to create your own time management toolbox. And finally, I want to thank you again for tuning in and for being a fan. And if you haven't yet, I invite you to click that subscribe button so you can be notified as soon as new episodes go live. And if you like what you hear, I would be so grateful for your review. Your reviews play a huge role in helping others find It's About Time in the search results. And you might just get a shout out in a future episode. Like this one going out to LilM520. LilM520 was so kind to leave a 5-star rating and review for It's About Time over in Apple Podcasts. LilM520 writes, I absolutely love this podcast. Anna, the host, provides invaluable insights and practical tips for managing my time effectively and getting things done efficiently. I have implemented several of the strategies shared on the show and have seen a significant improvement in my productivity. The episodes are straight to the point and filled with actionable advice that anyone can easily apply to their daily routine. I highly recommend this podcast to anyone looking to better manage their time and increase their efficiency. 5 stars all the way. Well, Lil M520, thank you so much for this kind review. It means so much to hear that you're not only enjoying the episodes, but that you're applying what you've heard and you're seeing success. I love it. And if you hear this shout out, head over to Instagram and send me a DM letting me know you heard it so I can send a surprise your way. And with that, it's about time we get started. So let's get this show on the road.
You're listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Around here, we believe that busy is not a badge of honor. Your host, Anna Dearman-Cornick, is here to share tips and strategies to help you make the most of your time. Listen in on real conversations and success stories to find out how other go-getters are getting things done. If you're ready to step away from the overwhelm and spend your time on what matters most, then you're in the right place. Here's your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick.
So you might have tuned into this episode expecting me to talk about the best digital calendars or the best paper planners or productivity apps. And sure, we'll get to that. But first, I want to make sure it's clear that there's more to time management tools than just calendars. You've heard me say this before, time management doesn't start on the pages of our planners. It starts by getting to the heart of what matters most. So let's keep in mind that time management isn't just about adding dates to your calendar. It's about efficiently managing our most precious resource, time, and ensuring we're focusing on the right things at the right time. And for that, you're going to need more than just a calendar. Think about it. Your day involves so many different tasks and responsibilities, each with different needs. You've got meetings to schedule, ideas to capture, conversations to have, and projects where you're probably collaborating with others. A single tool can't efficiently handle all of these diverse requirements. That's why having a collection of time management tools isn't just helpful, it's vital. That's why when thinking about time management tools, there are 4 different categories you need to consider. You need calendar tools, capture tools, communication tools, and collaboration tools. Calendar, capture, communication, and collaboration. So why a collection of time management tools? Well, it's because our lives aren't one-dimensional. Each tool or type of tool serves a purpose, filling a gap the others can't. And I promise, this isn't meant to overwhelm you. Instead, it's like having a shed full of tools so you can grab a rake when you need to rake leaves and grab a shovel when you need to dig a hole. And some tools can serve more than one purpose, and it's pretty cool when you find one of those. So let's start with the most obvious time management tool, our calendar. Let's dive into why we need a calendar as a time management tool, explore different options, and cover how to choose the one that fits your life the best. I want you to think of your calendar as a personal assistant, and its main job is to remember for you where you need to be, when you need to be there, and this is the kicker, what you need to do or know to be prepared. Oh yeah, if your calendar is being a good personal assistant, and you're being a good boss and setting it up for success, your calendar can and should do all of those things for you. When you start to think of your calendar as more than just a place for birthdays and meetings, you'll really begin to see its true power. Your calendar is a tool for visualizing how you spend your time, for understanding the balance or the lack of balance in your life, and planning ahead to align your days with your goals and your values. A calendar provides structure in a world full of distractions, helping you focus on what's truly important. So, what are our options when it comes to calendars? Well, for some, it's the classic paper planner. It's tactile, no batteries required, and there's a simplicity in flipping through the pages. For others, it's a digital calendar all the way. Apps like Google Calendar or Outlook offer flexibility. They're easily accessible, shareable, and editable. And then there's the hybrid approach, using a digital calendar for dates and details, and then using a paper planner to plan your tasks for the day. I've seen this work really well when you need the flexibility and shareability of a digital calendar, but you just can't quit that pen to paper feeling. So how do you pick the right one? Well, start by considering your lifestyle and work habits. Are you constantly on the move? A digital calendar might be your best bet. Do you love the act of writing things down and you only have a few meetings and appointments every once in a while? Well, then a paper planner could be more up your alley. And think about how you'll maintain it too. Will you have time for a weekly planning session? Do you need to share your calendar or specific appointments with others? It's important to remember that you've got to choose a calendar tool that complements, not complicates your life. Here's my take. If you're listening to this podcast, it's probably because you've got a lot on your plate. You're probably working and raising a family, or you have a full social calendar. Either way, you've got a lot going on. And when it comes to keeping up with the speed of life, I'm just going to say it. It takes a lot of work and discipline to keep a paper planner up to date. When you've got to move an appointment in a paper planner, you've got to white out, scratch out, or scribble over, which you might be totally okay with. The messiness of a scratched out planner tends to make me feel overwhelmed because the visual clutter on the page leads to mental clutter in my brain. You might feel differently, but on top of that, you can't click a button and share paper planner appointments with your partner, your coworkers, so you miss out on being able to use your calendar to easily communicate things for you. My husband and I have shared calendar appointments in our Google calendars for daycare drop-off and pickup, so we're always crystal clear about who's doing car line that day. It's not even a conversation that we have to have. It all happens through the calendar. You also can't easily add things to your paper planner without stopping to write them down. Plus, there usually isn't enough room in a paper planner to use your calendar like a personal assistant, with all of the details you need to be prepared for each meeting or appointment in your day. You can't hyperlink a paper planner with a Zoom link or a link to a Google Doc with notes. When you're operating from a paper planner, you usually only have enough space for the name of the meeting or the appointment, and there's rarely room for context, like who else is attending or what your purpose is in that meeting. And recurring meetings? Have fun writing the same meeting that takes place every week at 9:30 on Tuesdays over and over and over again. With a paper planner, you also miss out on a lot of awesome shortcuts that just make your life easier and they save you time. So maybe you're curious, what are my recommended digital calendars? Early in my career in congressional and state government roles, I used Outlook because that's what was provided by the government. And there are tons of amazing time-saving tools inside of Outlook that I loved, especially this little feature called Quick Parts. As a congressional scheduler, Quick Parts in Outlook saved me tons of time creating and formatting appointments for my boss. I've used Apple's iCal, and I didn't really love the experience. Something about it didn't feel intuitive to me, but I know that many of you love it. Now, I am Google Calendar all the way. I love that I can create multiple calendars within Google Calendar for specific purposes, and I can toggle them on and off based on what I need to look at in the moment. That really helps me combat mental clutter and focus on just what I need to see. I feel so strongly about having a solid calendar system that this was actually the topic of one of my very first podcast episodes, episode 3. I'll be sure to link it in the show notes so you can go all the way back to the beginning and check it out. And what about my beloved paper planners? Look, I will be an Emily Lay Simplified fan forever. I love her products. I love watching her launches. I love her books and learning from her. But y'all, my 2022 Carolina Gingham Planner was mostly unused. So instead, now I keep a notebook on my desk next to my laptop in the spot where my paper planner used to live. If you're a paper planner lover, to me, Emily Lay's Simplified Planner is where it's at. I also used Michael Hyatt's Full Focus Planner a few years ago for about a quarter, and it was a pretty good experience too. It just wasn't for me. So now you might be wondering, what if I choose the wrong calendar? Or what if my needs change? Remember, my friend, no choice is set in stone. The beauty of time management tools is their adaptability. So start with one, and if it doesn't work, try another one. Your needs might evolve, and that's okay. The goal is to find a calendar that goes with you, grows with you, and helps you feel like you've got your very own personal assistant watching out for you. Moving on in our toolkit, let's shift our focus to a tool that I'll bet you already have without even realizing it. In fact, you might have more of these tools than you can even keep track of. I'm talking to-do lists, sticky notes, tasks in a task management app, notebooks, the notes app in your phone, screenshots on your camera roll, that pile of mail on the kitchen island. Oh yes, all of those things are capture tools. These are the notebooks, notepads, task management systems, and apps that help us grab hold of ideas and tasks before we forget about them. I mean, if I don't write something down, I am pretty much guaranteed to forget it instantly. So let's talk about why you need a solid set of capture tools, what those tools should look like, and how to choose yours. Picture this. Your mind is a busy airport with thoughts and tasks and things to do as planes that are landing and taking off in all different directions. Without an air traffic control tower to manage all of this traffic, things can get pretty chaotic. Capture tools are kind of like that control tower. They give us a place to jot down ideas, tasks, and responsibilities, things that we want to remember as soon as we think of them, to keep important things from slipping through the cracks. Capture tools direct all of these planes, all of these ideas, to the right destination safely so we can deal with them at the right time. I recommend that everyone have at least three different types of capture tools: a high-tech option, a low-tech option, and a physical inbox. A high-tech option is like a task management app or the notes app on your phone. Basically, it's digital, it lives in the cloud, it's searchable, it's easy to share info with others, and you can access it in multiple places, like on your desktop, a tablet, or your smartphone. Having a high-tech option is super helpful when you're on the go and you need to remember something, but you're not able to drop everything and write it down in the exact place that it belongs, or it's when you want to capture something that might need to be shared later. Evernote, for instance, is perfect for capturing a mix of typed notes, voice memos, and pictures. And then there are tools like Asana or Trello that help capture tasks in a more structured, project-oriented way. And again, the beauty of capture tools is in their diversity. There's something for everyone. One of my clients, Mary Catherine, was in the middle of building a new home a while back, and she used the online tool Trello as her sidekick throughout the process. All of her builder contact info, links to house plans, to-do lists for decisions to be made, color palettes, measurements, you name it, and she stored it in Trello. That way, she could access all of her house details, whether she was over at the lot or checking out fixtures at Home Depot. So we've talked about high tech, now let's talk about low tech. A low tech option looks like a notebook or a notepad. And a paper planner could even qualify as a low-tech capture tool, depending on how you use it. I mean, there's just something so satisfying about writing something down and crossing it off. Am I right? One of the biggest mistakes we can make with our low-tech capture tools is having too many. There was definitely a time when I had like 17 notebooks I was using at once, and each had a different purpose. And I thought I was being so organized. But in reality, all of those different notebooks were really hard to keep up with, and I found myself slacking and writing stuff in one notebook that really belongs somewhere else, and it all ended up becoming kind of a disorganized mess. And the same thing goes for post-its and notepads. I've already said it. If I don't capture something, an idea, a to-do, whatever, pretty much immediately, I'm going to forget it. But the thing is that if you write things down on whatever scrap of paper happens to be closest to you at the moment, you're not doing yourself any favors. Because now your brain is going to be concerned about where you wrote that thing down. And chances are you'll lose that scrap of paper, or the sticky note is going to lose its sticky, fall off your desk. And then once the dog finds it, it's history. My recommendation, pick one notebook and make it your everything. And try to use sticky notes and random notepads sparingly. I get the appeal of cute paper. I really do. I love cute notepads. But more often than not, too many notebooks, notepads, and sticky notes add to the confusion and overwhelm instead of helping it. Finally, the third type of capture tool you need is a physical inbox, a place to corral paper or physical stuff until you can go through it and do whatever with it that needs to be done. When you have a physical inbox, it makes that pile of stuff on your kitchen island seem a lot more intentional. And it actually is. A physical inbox gives you one spot to put anything that you need to deal with later, but you actually have to have a system for dealing with it later. Selecting the right capture tools depends on your personal and your professional needs. Do you need something that's always at hand? Your smartphone with a note-taking app might be the answer. Do you prefer the hands-on feel of writing? Well, then a small notebook that fits in your bag could be ideal. Consider the ease of organizing and retrieving information from your chosen tool. After all, capturing information is only useful if you can find it when you need it. So you might be wondering, what if I try a capture tool and it doesn't work out? What if my needs change? Is it possible to have too many capture tools? The good thing is the world of capture tools is flexible. So don't be afraid to experiment and switch things up if a particular tool just isn't meshing well with your workflow. The right tool should feel like an extension of your thought process, seamlessly integrating into your daily routine. So let me give you one more reminder of the biggest pitfall most people fall into when it comes to choosing capture tools. Again, we want to choose too many. And we think, oh, the more the merrier. I'll have a specific notebook for everything. Or let me put that on a post-it note. Or, well, I'll use a different app for this thing and this other app for this thing. And then what happens? We get overwhelmed trying to figure out where we wrote down that one thing. And we realize that in our best efforts to get organized, we've just created a big mess for ourselves. Okay, y'all, so I know we could all probably use a little more time in our day, right? You're no stranger to busy schedules and intentionally filling them up to the brim because you just have so much to get done. But sometimes it feels like you don't really ever have the time to just slow down and enjoy the simple things. Simple things like when my toddlers are giggling and playing nicely together in the backyard, or when a Sunday afternoon nap sounds too good to pass up. We all want more time to enjoy these kinds of things, right? Well, if you love personality quizzes like I do, then you're in for a treat. In my new quiz, which you can take for free at annadcornick.com/quiz, I'm helping you uncover what it will take to get you from chaos to calm, to finally feel like you have space in your days. I know it can feel downright frustrating to keep using the same old time management strategies that just don't seem to work for you. You've got the planners, the calendars, the apps, you're doing all the things, but you still feel like you have no time. And that's because you need time management strategies that work for your personality and your life. In my 10 plus years working in crisis communications and chaos management, and all the time I've spent with my clients, I've learned that everyone has their own needs. And knowing what those needs are can really help you discover the best approach to planning your days. Knowing yourself can help you ease up busy schedules and find more calm and clarity in your week. Do you want to know how to get there? To have more breathing room in your days? Let's figure out your time management personality type so you can uncover exactly what you need to do to feel more productive, less stressed and more balanced. You can take the quiz at annadcornick.com/quiz, and I'll make sure to link to the quiz in our show notes. All right, on with the show. So what's the key takeaway here? It's simple. Having a dedicated system for capturing tasks and ideas, whether they're digital, written, or physical, is crucial. It's not about having the fanciest tools or having a bunch of them. It's just making the commitment to use what you choose consistently. That's what turns chaos into order. Commitment to consistency turns chaos into order. And if you're curious, here's what's in my capture tool collection. I use Asana, my task management system, as my high-tech capture tool. If I think of a task or a to-do, it goes into Asana. If I think of an idea that I might want to implement in my business one day, it goes into Asana. The door code to my parents' house, our health insurance coverage information, my business's EIN and instructions for how to pay quarterly taxes, all of that lives in Asana. And my low capture tool is a notebook. But y'all, it is not just any notebook. It's this Sugar Paper brand notebook from Target. It's got a gray and white striped cover, gold coil binding. The paper thickness is perfection. And every time I see them in the office supply section at Target, I buy every single one of them. Seriously, there are 7 in my office supply closet. If I think of something while I'm working, it goes in the notebook. My to-do list for the day goes in the notebook. If I want to take a few handwritten notes on a call, they go in the notebook. I am going to be so sad if or when this notebook is discontinued, which is why I shamelessly hoard them. My mom even showed up at the house recently with no less than 5 of these notebooks last time she came to visit because she came across them at her local Target. Y'all, I am that dedicated. And I'll link this notebook in the show notes to see if you can find them too. And when it comes to physical inboxes, I have 3. In my office, I have a simple white desk tray where pieces of mail, resources from events, and stuff like that goes. Then in our back hallway, by the back door, we have a wall pocket in our command center area for magazines and catalogs. I try really hard to use the touch it once philosophy, and honestly, most of our mail just goes straight from the mailbox into the recycling bin. Oh, and on our kitchen island, we have a ceramic bowl that's like a catch-all for stuff. Hair bows, little toys. Right now, there are some walkie-talkies and some Candyland game cards. That bowl captures all of the random until we can put all that random stuff where it belongs. All right, moving on to the third type of tool in our toolbox, communications tools. Again, you probably are using a whole bunch of these right now without realizing the impact they have on your time management. But all of that is about to change. Communication tools are the tools that help us connect, collaborate, and stay in touch. In our fast-paced world, the right communication tools help us manage our interactions efficiently. They keep us connected, ensure our messages are delivered and received correctly, and they help us navigate the sea of daily communication without getting overwhelmed. And there is such a wide range of tools out there. Email, for instance, is great for formal, detailed communication where you need a record. A paper trail. You need the receipts. Another callback to being a congressional scheduler, one of the first pieces of advice I got from a more experienced scheduler was to never delete an email because you never know when you might need proof of something. It's been almost 15 years since I worked on the Hill, and I still wince a little whenever I delete an email, but it happens a whole lot more often now. Aside from email, instant messaging apps like Slack or WhatsApp are perfect for quick, informal chats. Then there are video conferencing tools like Zoom or Microsoft Teams, and I'm going to bet that you're using a combination of several different tools to get your message across. And chances are, especially when it comes to work, you probably don't have a lot of say in the tools that you're using, unless you're the boss. If your office uses Slack, you can't just up and decide to start using Microsoft Teams and vice versa. So a lot of managing your communication tools involves working with what you've got. But what you can do is set boundaries around the type of communication you do on each tool. And here's what I mean by that. So a few years ago, I worked with a client who was chief development officer at an international nonprofit organization. On any given day, she spent a huge amount of her time in meetings. And when she wasn't in meetings, and sometimes while she was in meetings, she was bouncing from her email inbox to her Slack messages to text messages and back around again. At her organization, some people treated email almost like an instant messenger, sending informal communication and expecting a quick, rapid response. Then others were treating Slack like email, sending long messages with attachments and asking for important decisions. While others were going straight to text messages, often asking why my client hadn't responded to their Slack messages or email yet. She was stuck in this constant cycle of checking until she set some boundaries and rules. She decided that important, longer communication should be routed to her email. That would be important for organizational documentation. Quick, informal communication should be sent to Slack so she could quickly respond between meetings. And texts? Off limits. She decided that text would be for her personal friends and family only. Little by little, she started communicating her preferences to her team and her colleagues by asking them, "Oh, will you please send this over to my email? I don't want to lose track of it for documentation's sake." Or, "Thank you so much for this email. How about we shift the conversation over to Slack?" And even replying to texts by saying, "Hi, I'm responding to you over in Slack. I prefer to reserve my text messages for personal communication. Thank you so much for understanding." What changed the game for this client and her time was giving each of her communication channels a specific purpose. Because it's not just about having the right tools in your toolbox. You have to set clear rules and boundaries for their use in order to avoid burnout and confusion. So what if a tool isn't working for you? Or what if it's causing more stress than help? It's important to regularly assess whether your communication tools are serving their purpose. And if not, what can you change? If you're stuck in a never-ending cycle of message checking, your communication tools might need a tune-up. And if you find yourself overwhelmed with information overload, it might be time to streamline your tools or redefine how you use them. The goal of your communication tools is to make your interactions as seamless and stress-free as possible, not to add to the clutter or the noise. In fact, I encourage you to take a look at your email, your text, or your messenger and ask yourself, how can I use this to be more productive? Rather than just approaching it in default mode. You might find yourself using it a bit differently if the focus is productive communication rather than just communication. All right, so let's round out our time management toolbox with the fourth, the last, and certainly not least tool we need to manage our busy schedules, and that's a collaboration tool. In a world where teamwork is key, whether in the office or at home, collaboration tools are essential. So let's explore collaboration tools, what exactly they are, why you need them, what they can look like, and potential pitfalls you might encounter along the way. Whether you're collaborating with colleagues, clients, family, even caregivers or babysitters, calendars, capture tools, and communication tools are pieces of the puzzle. But collaboration tools give you the full picture, the whole kit and caboodle. A collaboration tool is a tool that helps in organizing projects, delegating tasks, tracking progress, communicating important information, and maintaining a clear shared vision. They bring people together, ensure everyone is on the same page, and they move everyone toward a common goal efficiently. So what exactly do collaboration tools look like? Well, technically, any of the tools we've talked about so far could be considered collaboration tools, depending on how you use them. Remember, the power of the time management tool is based on the purpose you give it. Even a binder can be a collaboration tool when it's used with intention. But let's start with our digital options. For collaborative project management, there's Asana, Trello, ClickUp, Monday.com. There are so many different options that offer visual task tracking and clear task delegation. Tools like Slack, also a communication tool, facilitate instant communication and quick decision-making with shared files and information. Then there are comprehensive platforms like Microsoft Teams or Basecamp, which combine communication and project management features. Each of these tools offers unique functionalities for different collaboration needs. The ideal digital collaboration tool includes a place for tasks, a way to assign those tasks to people, a method for communicating and sharing updates, and it should be accessed not only on your computer, but also on a tablet or smartphone whenever you're on the go. But you can also go low-tech or analog with your collaboration tools. One of my past clients actually used a giant whiteboard on wheels at his office with a list of all of their current clients and the status of each of their projects. Everyone in the office could see at a glance what their current project load looked like. And remember how I mentioned that a binder can be a collaboration tool too? Let me tell you about my babysitter binder. Back during my book tour last summer, specifically for my Baton Rouge launch party, we had a new babysitter come and stay with the girls until we got home that night after their bedtime. Now, whenever you have a new babysitter come over, you can try to spit out a ton of information as you're getting ready to walk out the door. Usually the kids are screaming, holding on to you, but you're trying to tell, okay, here's the bedtimes, here's the snacks they're allowed to have, here are the TV channels that are off limits, here's the emergency contact info. Or you can collect all of this important info in a binder that you hand over to the babysitter when they arrive. Not only does this cut down on the stress of trying to remember everything as you're walking out the door, but it also gives the babysitter a stress-free reference guide, which cuts back on the calls and texts with random questions. Plus, you can add pages for the babysitter to leave notes about what your kiddos ate or if there were any behavior issues, if that's your thing. So why would this be considered a collaboration tool? Even though hiring a babysitter might not be what we typically think of when we think of a project, you and the babysitter are collaborating on childcare. You're in charge of the project and you're delegating tasks to the babysitter. The binder makes that collaboration simpler and more streamlined. So when it comes to choosing a collaboration tool, what should you keep in mind? Well, the choice of tool depends on your team's size, the nature or the type of work, and your personal preferences. Do you need a tool for complex, multi-layered projects, something like Asana, perhaps? Or maybe something similar for more straightforward tasks, like a whiteboard or the babysitter binder I told you about? And consider the learning curve of the tool. Is it user-friendly enough for everyone on your team? It's kind of hard to collaborate if the tool is too confusing or complex. Sometimes we can overcomplicate things or even overorganize things till the law of diminishing returns kicks in. If the tool you're using to organize takes too much time and too much effort to keep up properly, it's not benefiting you or your team. I remember working as a contractor for a PR and communications firm before I started my business. And the company's owner decided to transition the team from task management in a Google Sheet over to Basecamp, a multifunctional digital tool. Every single member of this team spent more than a week in meetings and trainings to prepare for this transition. That was a huge time investment. And although I didn't stick around as a contractor long enough to see the outcome of this transition, I truly hope it worked out for them and saved time after spending so much time in training when they could have been serving their clients. And finally, you have to ask yourself, how well does my collaboration tool integrate with the other tools I'm using? Do your different tools talk to each other, or are there integrations so you can connect your communication tool to your calendar and your capture tool to your collaboration tool? Can you use one tool for multiple purposes, the way I use Asana as a capture tool, a communication tool, and a collaboration tool? Oh yeah, my primary collaboration tool for both my business and my family is Asana. My team and I use Asana to organize our podcasting workflow, our client information, our tasks associated with special projects, like the free mini course I'm working on for you right now. And my husband and I also use Asana for house projects, like the garage organization we're tackling this spring, and our financial goals and tasks live in Asana too. We love that we can communicate directly in Asana using comments. So our communication about projects is right there next to the project info and the to-do lists. We also use Slack for general business communication and for our podcast and video production company, Studio Pizza Productions. If you're a business owner or a marketing professional that uses podcasts or YouTube videos to promote your business, we would love to take editing off your plate. I'll be sure to link our website in the show notes. Anyway, we use Slack as our primary collaboration and communication tool with our Studio Pizza clients. We share draft files, share editing updates, and communicate approvals and next steps all inside Slack. Now, just like the others, you might be wondering, what if I start using a tool and it isn't the right fit for my team? Or what if our needs change over time? Well, I've got some good news and some bad news for you. Here's the good news first. Collaboration tools are not set in stone. It's okay to switch if a tool isn't meeting your expectations. Teams evolve and so do their needs. Regular check-ins on the tool's effectiveness and openness to change can keep your team's workflow smooth and productive. But here's the bad news. If a tool isn't working for you or your team, and this is true for all of the tools I've mentioned, if a tool isn't working for you or your team, it might not be the tool's fault. It might be the way you're using it, or your expectations might be a little unrealistic. I know, I hate to say it, but I've seen it too many times. Way often, I'll see something that I call tool switching or tool hopping. You'll start using one tool and you'll get all of your info into it and you'll use it for a couple weeks, maybe a few months, but then it doesn't do this one thing that you want it to do, or you don't feel as organized as you hoped that you would. So you decide to switch to a new tool that seems better. Maybe you started with Trello and you decided that Trello isn't working for you, so you switch to Asana. But then you decide that Asana isn't working for you either, so you switch to ClickUp. And then ClickUp doesn't work the way you hoped either, so you consider supplementing ClickUp with Notion. I see the same thing with paper planners. We'll buy one planner and we'll use it for a while until we don't. So we'll blame the planner because it didn't work for us. And then we'll buy another one. And then eventually that one collects dust. You know how they say the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, the same sentiment applies here. The thing is, there is no perfect tool that can do every single thing we want it to the way we want it to. And sometimes it's not the tool, it's the way you're using it. And sometimes it's not the tool, it's the commitment to using it, or the lack thereof. And sometimes the answer isn't switching, it's picking a tool and committing to sticking with it. And that goes for all four of the tools we've covered today. If you're using a calendar and it's not perfect, or you're using a capture tool that doesn't meet every single one of your needs or expectations, I encourage you to commit to giving it 4 to 6 more months. Because when you commit to making something work, you'll find a way. Most of the time, it's the system, not the tool itself, that leads to success. With the right system in place, any tool can set you up for success. But we'll have to talk about setting up systems for success in another episode. So there you have it, friends. The 4 types of tools you need to manage your busy schedule: calendar, capture, communication, and collaboration. When you have intentionally compiled a toolbox of tools that addresses each one of those 4 functions, you've got everything you need for time management success. You can find links to the tools I mentioned and a rundown of my favorite calendar, capture, communication, and collaboration tools over in the show notes. This week's show notes can be found over at abouttimepodcast.com/222. Before you go, let me tell you all about next week's episode. Next week's episode, episode 223, is all about stopping the cycle of just going through the motions in life. You know, that feeling of living life in default mode, just kind of surviving day to day. If you've ever wondered, is this all there is for me? Am I meant for more? Then you should definitely come back next week for episode 223, where I'll be talking with entrepreneur, coach, and mom of 2, Andrea Olson, about what it looks like to shift from living a life filled with the mundane to living a life filled with meaning. It's a great conversation, and I can't wait to share it with you. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Thanks for listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Head over to www.abouttimepodcast.com to join the conversation. Check out the show notes and dive into bonus content so you can start living your best life today. Love this episode? Be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.